Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This monster of the swamp. For the past half century, he's been lurking around in there. He sticks his head up every now and then to run for president. Then he disappears and doesn't do much in between.
All right, so that is day one of the RNC. Don Trump Jr. there, one of the things that he called Joe Biden. It was a kind of night of defending the president of COVID-19 and what had happened and how well the economy was going pre-COVID-19, or as it was referred to, the Chinese Communist a virus many times. And with Don Trump Jr. during his remarks, not only did he call the former vice president the Loch Ness monster of the swamp that he said his father wants to drain, but he also referred to him as Beijing Biden. So we are off with the Republicans until Thursday, just like the Democrats. It is their time in the digital sun, so to speak. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope that wherever you are, and I say this all the time, you are doing well. If you can hug anyone safely, hug them. Boy, I never realized how much I missed hugging. Yeah, I'm giving you all a virtual hug right now. Oh, doesn't that feel good? Just a hug. Just a hug. So it wasn't so much about hugging, though, at the RNC. It's about themes. They've got their way of doing this was interesting, actually. It was breaking it down into different themes. Every single night has a different theme. And what we saw from the first night, you saw some interesting people who took to the platform to rally the base and to reach out perhaps to others. You had Senator Tim Scott, who ripped Joe Biden for his past misstatements on race and argued that President Donald Trump's administration rolled back many of his predecessors' policies to help African-American communities. And Tim Scott said Joe Biden and black people are a monolithic community. It was Joe Biden who said poor kids can be just as smart as white kids. And Scott is a South Carolina Republican, and he was referring to some misstatements that Biden later apologized for. And while his words are one thing, he said his actions take it to a whole nother level. Scott's remarks included some of his personal story, part of an effort during that first night of the convention to blunt some of the president's own remarks, I think, on race, including the defense of the Confederate flag and statues and that kind of thing. And so Tim Scott, that was pretty much what you heard from Scott. He's the lone black Republican senator, and he's a leading voice for Republicans on the issue of race, while we as a nation are reeling from the killing of George Floyd, I think, still in Minneapolis, and, of course, all the protests that play out across the nation. And he talked about, he said, from a global pandemic to the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, 2020 has tested our nation in ways we haven't seen for decades. And Scott blamed Democrats for the efforts failing of legislation to reform police departments because they fizzled out, which that part's true. They did fizzle out, and said, though Democrats said the bill approved by the GOP control, that didn't. And that was, I think, the setup there from that perspective. And you also had Nikki Haley, Trump's former ambassador to the UN and a former governor of South Carolina, who was heavily featured. And she said, America is not a racist country, not a racist country. And she went into a couple of other things of Biden and talking about what life would be like for pretty much if Biden were in the White House. She didn't say it quite that way, but talked about it. Let's put it that way. And we'll see others, I believe, you know, throughout this convention. If you look at the schedule and the official schedule, all the Trumps will take the stage. All the Chiefs will take the stage. This year, there were 130 against the 2016 convention, of course, at 2,400, and they're in Charlotte, North Carolina. They did the roll call vote, and they formally nominated the president, who really, of course, faced no opposition pretty much in the primary season. That's not unusual. And we know that there was a change because of the virus. Otherwise, there was going to be an in-person convention, but the four-day convention is not about that. It's about how do you use technology, just like the Democrats did to get across your points. So it centers around the theme of honoring the great American story, and every day has Americans who are going to testify that the president has positively affected their lives, and that was one of the things that was pretty clear on Monday. Besides Nikki Haley and besides Don Trump Jr., you had Congressman Jim Jordan, you had Congressman Matt Gaetz, you had the House Republican Whip Steve Scalise. You also would have seen the Republican National Committee Chairwoman Rona McDaniel and Kim Guilfoyle and Amy Johnson Ford. And then there was a slew of others, including Andrew Pollack, whose daughter Meadow was killed in the 2018 Parkland, Florida school shooting. And one thing that was really interesting, and I guess I hadn't thought about this, but in laying out a convention and what you're presenting and who's watching, and it's your base, just like the Democrats, that are obviously the people that are involved in listening and whatnot, is you had the president at the White House surrounded in one moment that I thought was pretty powerful, people who he had negotiated for their release by foreign governments, whether it was Iran or whether it was Turkey or wherever it was. And I thought that was whoever came up with that on the Republican side of laying out the convention and the first night, I thought that was kind of a that's right. That family was rescued from Venezuela, and they had been there stuck in prison for 2 years, or this happened, that happened. And I thought that was an interesting curveball, actually, of the first night. I think every day, just like with the Democrats, you're going to find some kind of, things that happened where you had these preemptions with the RNC. You've had Fox that didn't carry the whole thing, which that was tweeted all over the place. Why are we watching this on CNN and not on Fox? But that was what was so strange. So there's kind of spotty coverage of the roll call that nominated him, even though it was obviously a done deal. And there's some other, I think, weird ideas for some of these networks, except for a few that carried it gavel to gavel. Even MSNBC, even though they interrupted from time to time, they were on it the whole way through. All right, stay with us. Meet you on the other side.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
And it's just shocking and outrageous and devastating to people like me who saw the video. Can you imagine the psychological issues these three babies are going to have for the rest of their lives, seeing their father shot these many times in the back from the people who were supposed to protect and serve him?
Wow, here we go again. That was Ben Crump. He's, of course, a civil rights attorney specializing in what's going on, and this is another one of these situations. As he tweeted out just a short time ago, we must put an end to toxic culture where police shoot first and try to figure out how to justify it later. We need them to protect and serve black and brown people, too, and hashtag justice for Jacob Blake. So that's the latest story. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. If you haven't heard the story of Jacob Blake, the video is pretty telltale. The video is there. It's clear. And what you see is you see police officers firing several shots at close range into a black man's back on Sunday night. He was shot by police responding to a domestic violence incident, and he was just walking slowly toward this SUV, and they were behind him, and his kids, three kids, were in the car when that happened. So Kenosha's so bad that they've got a curfew that kicked in 8 p.m. on Monday, and in effect, of course, till 7 in the morning on Tuesday. The Wisconsin National Guard headed to Kenosha on Monday. The Department of Justice, of course, is investigating what's happened here after officers from the department responded to a domestic incident shortly after 5 o'clock, and then the shooting. So Jacob Blake was airlifted to a Milwaukee hospital. He was in serious condition and went through surgery. He's in stable condition, I'm told, now. And, it's very, very sad to see the video. And there are a lot of details that we don't know, of course, about this. That's all starting to unfold. But there were people that immediately protested, and things got crazy. And, of course, there were police in riot gear, pepper sprayed the crowd. 5 or 10 people were hit, including photographers from the Associated Press and whatnot. The crowd had members of the media who were out there in the middle of Kenosha and what was happening. And it's interesting. One of Blake's neighbors said, I heard this in one of the things I was watching, that when he went to a store about 15 minutes before the shooting, and he was barbecuing with his kids. When the neighbors came back, he was trying to break up a fight. So this Jacob Blake was trying to break up a fight from their perspective of what they saw. And then police came. Then there were 7 or 8 police, and they wanted to talk with him, but he wasn't interested, and he started to put his kids in the car to leave. And, he had kids that were from 3 to 7, and I think neighbors are saying they're shocked. You know, they can't believe what they're seeing. And what does the video show? Like I said, it's circulating all over the place on social media, and it shows him simply walking toward the car. He was followed by an officer, had a weapon drawn. He opens the car door, reaches into the car, and the officer tugs on his shirt, and then you hear the gunshots, and then there's a car horn, and then it's unclear some of the other things that would have happened after that. So you heard Ben Crump, and he is representing the Blake family and the family of George Floyd, you know, the black man who, of course, died under the knee of a Minneapolis former now police officer on Memorial Day. And the kids, this is so horrible about that. It's exactly what Crump said. They saw a cop shoot their father, so then you imagine how that goes on and lives on for them. Okay, there's a couple of other things worth mentioning here that I want to make sure that I hit on. Again, it's the RNC's party. We're going into day 2. There's 2, 3, 4. The president will speak each day. While that's happening, New Orleans is preparing for a major hurricane for now. If it hangs on, it's Tropical Storm Laura. You think about 15 years ago this week, I can't even believe it's been that long, Hurricane Katrina. I mean, this is hurricane season, and things have changed in the Ninth Ward. Things have changed with the levees in New Orleans, but the people that live there are very aware of what it's like when you get these storms, and now there's greater protection than the flawed levees and the flood walls that were there for Katrina. But it's still about rising sea levels and all of that, and how they weather the storm. So many people have evacuated. Other people are just boarding up. They're just getting ready because this is what you do. In California, it's very sad to see. It's the opposite. They're not talking about hurricanes. They're talking about wildfires. 7 people now confirmed dead. 1.2 million acres lost. It's been another horrible week for these historic fires. I feel like every fire season we're saying this about Cali, especially Northern California now, because that's where these fires are. And if you look at a fire map, I was looking at it today, I almost had to like look away because I'm thinking of people I know. I wonder if they're going to get tapped on, as there are so many firefighters that are out there trying to do what they can. 625 wildfires, they say, sparked by lightning. Because they had horrible lightning strikes, and any kind of rescue person, anything they can do, they're throwing at this. And because of these fires, they say you can see the smoke, no kidding, all the way in Kansas. Just think about that for a second. Picture a map in your mind and how far that would be. Oh. So the Bay Area, Sacramento, of course, it's horrible there. Through Oregon, you can see some of the residual smoke, of course, in Oregon. I know some of you are listening to me there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And this is really rough stuff. The size and the complexity of the fire is something they really say they haven't even seen. 1,000 structures have been destroyed or damaged. since this all started last Monday, and it's been one of the most deadly and destructive in Northern California. And I say that, and I think of the fires that we just talked about last fire season. But it's clear when you see 13,000 lightning strikes have been recorded since August 15th. So that's really what's happened here. You have 14,000 firefighters that are trying to do whatever they can to put it out, but it's just that difficult. And in Southern California, they've got fires that are burning around Los Angeles. They've got one that's been going on for over 11 days, and it's holding steady because they get the winds, it's dry, cannot get it out. It's so, so tough. I mean, this is some of the worst, absolutely, some of the worst stuff that we, that we have seen. I mean, unbelievable, unbelievable. All right, setting you up again for, we'll see what happens with Laura. Hopefully these fires get taken care of later in the week, but I think it's going to be a long, long fight, and it's hitting the air quality, et cetera. We'll see what the fallout continues to be from Wisconsin, but having in place, having a curfew, I think, helps somewhat. And then it's about re-racking for the Republicans for day two after Nikki Haley, Trump Jr., and, you know, Michael Steele and the rest that spoke. There's much more to come. And the star of day two will be the First Lady, Melania Trump, will speak on the second day, one of many who will speak for at the convention, rather. And this will happen in the White House because everything from the president's side, from the president to the First Lady anyway, that's all taking place in Washington, D.C. It's the pandemic kind of convention, just like we saw from the Democrats. The convention takes on a whole different type of feeling without having it live, but it's about the speeches and the words and rallying the base, and it's really the big time normally for the party to meet in hallways and go out to dinners and do all those kinds of things in between. So obviously this is a little bit different, but it's networking of a different sort through the mediums that we have now. And it's the question of using the stories and the stories of what's happened in the administration. They're doing that, and the stories of what's happening with the Democrats. So day two coming up next. Of course, we'll have all that. A couple of great interviews coming up next, including, I think, a guy who's incredible what he's doing for a foundation that affects his family. Stay tuned. I'll be there right with you all next.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Democrats have a common goal of booting the president from the White House in November's general election, but the progressive and moderate wings of the Democratic Party presented an image of unity at their convention last week. But there was a moment during the four-day Democratic National Convention where progressives protested in large numbers over the party's platform.
The DNC revealed over the weekend that 3,562 delegates voted to approve the platform, with 1,569 voting no. The number of convention delegates who voted no is roughly the same as the number of delegates pledged to progressive Bernie Sanders of Vermont. President Trump, in his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention today, said that he was glad that Bernie Sanders did not win the nomination because Sanders has a more enthusiastic backing. This is USA Radio News. The California Supreme Court overturned the death penalty sentence for Scott Peterson, convicted in the Christmas Eve murder of his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn son, Connor. The court's decision came more than 15 years after Lacey, a Modesto, California schoolteacher, was killed. Investigators said Peterson dumped his wife's body from his fishing boat into the San Francisco Bay in 2002. The bodies surfaced months later. While the murder conviction against Peterson stayed in place, the court ordered a new penalty phase trial. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is on a trip to the Middle East, the first of two senior U.S. officials to head to the region this week, as the Trump administration presses an ambitious Arab-Israeli peace push. Pompeo is traveling to Israel, several Gulf Arab states, and Sudan. To accelerate progress in the region, Pompeo is expected to be followed to many of the same destinations later in the week by Trump's senior advisor and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, according to several diplomats. Listen live anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Author's Corner. I'm really excited about our next guest. We talked off the air, and I think half of the things that he's done are actually on my so-called bucket list, but I don't know if I'm brave enough to do them. I'm an adventurer in a much different way than he is, and you know that. Many of you know that from listening to this show. His book is a game changer, Many Worlds to Conquer. It will inspire you beyond belief. Joling Halbertsma joins us now from the UK. Joling, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Kate, for having me.
So the book, you know, Many Worlds to Conquer, I don't know that in our lifetime we can conquer all the worlds, and that's part of what attracted me to your book. Tell the listeners what it's about.
Well, the story is actually pretty straightforward because I'm a very ordinary guy. I have a regular job. I go to the office every single day. I sit in front of a computer. I wear a suit. I take public transport. But I've also done a couple of things that other people have described as extraordinary. So I've been to the North Pole. I've been to the South Pole. I climbed the highest mountains in the world. I've escaped from Alcatraz. I've paddleboarded across the English Channel. And that really makes me a very ordinary guy. Extraordinary things. And the story is that I'm so ordinary that if I can do this, you can do this too. In fact, you can do anything you want as long as you commit yourself to something. And that really is the goal of the book, just to get people to get out of their comfort zone, to set themselves a goal. And once they do that, they're always surprised at how much they have achieved. So for me, the biggest compliment is people saying, I've read your book. And you know what? Because of that, I have now signed up to that fitness class, to those piano lessons, to those dance lessons. It doesn't mean that you also have to climb physical mountains, but everyone has their own mountain in life to climb. So as long as I can help you do that, for me, that is mission accomplished.
For you, going to the North Pole, the South Pole, escaping Alcatraz, all those things that you've done and more, you mentioned just a couple of them. Did you always have that drive? Did you know that you could do that?
Well, I didn't. And the first time that actually I surprised myself with what I could do is when I ran the New York Marathon, and this was in 1997. But it was actually quite easy. I mean, of course, you've got to train for it, which is what I did. But at the same time, once I did it, I thought, you know, maybe there's more you can do. And that's really, that kick-started my exploring career. And I think that, you know, I didn't even get started. I mean, there's so much more to do. And, you know, it's been enriching in so many different ways. So, watch this space.
Would you say that for a lot of people, they hold themselves back because they're just afraid to take that leap? And you took the leap by doing the marathon, and then you said you trained, and voila, it opened an extra gear, I think, for you. Is that part of what it takes?
Yeah, and I think that the most important thing is to accept the fact that you're not always going to be successful at everything. And it doesn't matter if you fail. If you don't get from A to B in one go, it doesn't matter. Just keep trying, and ultimately you'll get there. And once you achieve that sort of mindset that you're saying, I'm not willing to take a risk, I'm just going to get out of my comfort zone, and I'm just going to do it, that's when you really will achieve a lot. I mean, there are so many reasons why people don't do it. There's always that little voice in your head that says, well, maybe I shouldn't do it, but if I will do it, maybe it's going to be next year. There's always an excuse you can find. Just do away with those. Set yourself a goal. Ideally make it public so that you'll be held accountable, and you're going to put pressure on yourself, and that's when you'll be successful ultimately.
I like that. Make it public. That's key. I hope everyone's listening to that. Make it public, and that way you hold yourself accountable. Of the things that you've done so far, what to you has been the best? I know that's a hard question, but what's been the most exciting?
Well, I think what probably was the most memorable experience for me was going to the North Pole. First of all, because this was an experience, we were in total with eight, that was very bonding. A couple of things could have gone horribly wrong. They almost did go wrong. And, you know, a couple of situations were, you know, pretty edgy. So for that reason, I think the team experience that we had with our group of eight was incredible. But in addition to that, what was very important for us is that we wanted to do this because we don't think that standing on the North Pole is something you can still do in 10 years' time. So with that adventure, we also raised a lot of money for the WWF, the World Wildlife Fund, just to make sure that they could continue their climate change research. And we've actually noticed that firsthand what the effects of climate change are, because the ice is getting thinner, and one of us actually fell through the ice. So that was a very memorable experience.
Wow, no kidding. When they fell through the ice, that had to be a scary moment, right?
Yeah, it was. And the fortunate thing is that we were with a group, so we could all pull them out. But think of this. If you're falling through the ice and you're trying to get back on and the ice keeps breaking off, it's very difficult to save your own life. So because we were with a group of, you know, strong, you know, we had a very strong bond and we're all looking out for each other. Because we did that, we were able to save his life. And, you know, that's also one of the metaphors that I always take away from my adventures, that, you know, there is no I in team. It's very clear. If you work together as a group, you'll be more successful than you being solo working on your own.
Boy, there's another great big takeaway from this for sure. What else is on your list? Because I think people listening to this will find it pretty fascinating, some of the things you've already done, and they'll hear about that in the book, but also what's on your list for the future?
Well, so currently what I'm working on is called the Seven Summits. So that is the highest mountain on every continent. So in December, I will go back to Antarctica. I'll climb Mount Vinson, which is the highest mountain on that continent. And then I got to do three more. So once I've done the Seven Summits, you know, I'm going to have a good think about what else I can do afterwards. But I think really the next frontier in exploring is probably not going to be on Earth. I mean, you see a lot of people, especially, you know, people like Jeff Bezos, who are currently trying to explore space. I mean, that is the next frontier. For me, ultimately, it would be my goal as well at some point, if space travel becomes commercial, to get myself into space as well. But let's focus on the highest mountains in the world first. I mean, for me, that's my next objective. I'd be happy if I do that.
I love it. We're speaking with Jolene Halbertsma. You can pick up the book, Many Worlds to Conquer, on Amazon.com or wherever great books are sold. Ultimately, and we've really weaved it into the conversation, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, for me, the ultimate takeaway is just commit yourself, go for it, and you'll be amazed at what you can achieve. For me, that is a very important point. But at the same time, what I've also been able to do through my adventures is give purpose to my life, because all those adventures I've done, to be honest, you can ask yourself whether they have purpose, whether they have sense. I mean, to be honest, climbing a mountain is pretty useless, because I can guarantee you any mountain in the world has been climbed already. But because I'm inspiring other people, because also I'm raising a lot of money for charity through my adventures, I'm actually able to give purpose to my life. So all these adventures for me now have a meaning, because I'm actually doing something with it. So that's something that was actually more of a byproduct what I've done. But again, it just goes to show, if you get out of your comfort zone, if you go for something, then good things will come along. And it's been a very rewarding experience, and I hope that everyone is going to buy the book, because also, please be aware, all the proceeds of the book, 100%, go to charity. So I don't make any money off this. Everything goes to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And in the book, it also becomes clear why that is the charity that I have chosen.
Yeah, wow. So tell us about that. That's worth mentioning that for everybody listening. That's very big on this show and other things that I participate in. So why juvenile diabetes?
So I don't have kids myself, but my brother, my twin brother, he's got two boys, and the eldest was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was 2 years old. And I wanted to help. I wanted to do whatever I can, but there's not much you can do. The only thing that you know is that that young boy has to be injected with insulin 6 times a day. So for me to help the charity, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, with their research program, for me that became an incredibly important goal. And I started to dedicate all my adventures to raising money for the JDRF. And you'll be surprised how many people are willing to contribute to a good cause. And that makes the suffering that I go through worth even more. And to be honest, my suffering, it doesn't even compare to what Felix, that's his name, what his suffering is like. So it really has given purpose to me, you know, in my life personally.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you shared that story, and then you can certainly see more about that in the book, too, because as you mentioned, Jolene, that it's personal for you, and obviously it has more of an impact, too, which, as you say, when you take the leap, who knows what the collaboration could ultimately look like. And then you finally, you write this book. Did you ever think you were going to sit down and write a book?
Not really. I mean, a lot of people... just when I talked about my adventure, so this is inspiring. You've got to do something with it. And I just do this for myself. I mean, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on TikTok. I didn't have any intention to do this for anybody else. But when people said, you know, this is inspiring, I thought, well, maybe I should do something with my story. So that's when I started to do quite a bit of public speaking. And then the obvious next step was to write a book, because that, of course, is how you can reach a much broader audience. And so far, the feedback has been incredible, and I'm very thankful for that. So I didn't think that I would actually write a book, which was also an adventure in itself. But I'm very glad I committed myself. I set that goal. It took me 2 years. But, you know, I'm proud of having done it, and hopefully people will like the message.
Yeah, I love it. Jolene, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Case, for having me.
Drink
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Annette Edens. She's written a book called From Monsters to Miracles. I love that title, and you're going to love what it's about. And Annette, thank you so much for popping on. We appreciate it. Let's dive right into it. What made you decide you were going to write this book in the first place?
Well, Kate, I'm a psychologist, and I have been working with teenagers for years. Many of whom had substance abuse or other kinds of behavior problems, and I found that I just kept trying to engage parents in specific parenting behaviors that would help their kids straighten up. And so I finally decided that I would write a book rather than say the same thing over and over and over to parents. Say, okay, when they call me, please read my book and then come in and really skip to the real meat of the matter if you've already got the basics. So that's why I wrote it.
Yeah, and you've seen some all kinds of behavior since obviously you've been in this world. And what's the most destructive thing that happens? Because it's got to be tough for parents. Let's face it, it's a war, and they just want their kids to be okay, but that's not good enough because there are struggles that you have to go through. What's the biggest mistake, I guess, that parents make?
Oh, Well, the most common mistake, and it's really just such human nature, but that is that one parent will be the real soft, nurturing, sweet parent, and the other one will respond to that, feeling like their kid needs discipline, and get really harsh. And they ping off each other so that the nurturing one gets more and more lenient and the harsh one gets more and more punitive until they're fighting with each other so much that the kid ends up being able to play them against each other. And they're on the brink of divorce by the time I see them. And blaming each other. And really, often what I'll do is ask them to reverse roles. Say, okay, you, the parent that's been the nurturing one, you now are in charge of the rules. And the one that's been the disciplinarian now is in charge of being warm and fuzzy for the kid. And have them practice that back and forth. And it's amazing how it confuses the child and really gives the parents a lot of strength.
Yeah, the I would think that we're seeing this more than ever. I mean, I'm hearing this from my friends and some of the struggles that they have. What is it that you're seeing? Is it drugs? Are drugs the problem? Is it just a myriad of problems?
Oh man, it's just so much in our culture that social media is a factor. Really, the availability of drugs, the glamorization of the sort of life of, you know, what started sort of, I guess, in the 60s, the sex, drugs and rock and roll. But now it's not just what many of us experienced many years ago with, you know, smoke some pot when you're 25 years old. But now it's the 12 and 13-year-olds that are starting to use drugs and drink, and by the time they're 15 or so, they're seriously engaged in this activity that is damaging their brain.
Yeah. And, you know, in your book, and I said it, from monsters to miracles, I love that title, because that's what you're talking about. These uh-huh. kids are unrecognizable, right? And then they come through on the other side. Can do it.
Yeah. These sweet little darlings that we, you know, you just look at your child with such adoration and then slowly see them devolve into a hard, sort of toxic, caustic, angry, you know, child that is so self-destructive and cruel to the parents. That the parents are just in horror watching this and not knowing whether their child is. Most parents, of course, try to say, oh, well, this is a phase, they're an adolescent, kids are like this, and because they don't know what to do, it's easier to just sort of stay in denial about it or hope that it's going to just go away. But it often doesn't. In which case, they die. There are so many overdoses, I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to for children. It's just gut-wrenching. And the kids who are using still after a kid overdoses or suicides, they just think, well, that kid was stupid. I'm too smart. That's not going to happen to me. And they don't really get the wake-up call. So it is pretty terrifying out there.
Boy, so, you know, it's what I said, it's a war, and you've got to forget the blame. You've talked about that you have to just look at things differently.
Right.
And you've seen people look at it, as many funerals as you've been to, you've also seen families come out on the other side. How rewarding is that to work with them and see that?
It's what makes it worth doing. I mean, it would be too painful a field to work in if there weren't so many successes that far outweigh the numbers of kids that we lose. And the primary issue with kids who don't make it is that they're either too old by the time the parents really catch it. Maybe they're 17 years old or so, and the parents have less authority, and the kid can run away without the parents actually being able to engage police or anything and trying to round them up. Or the parents if the parents are divorced, it's a little bit harder, but not that much harder. The parents just have to get on the same page with each other and cooperate with each other. But divorce does not seem to be the common denominator. There are many, many of the kids who have problems come from intact, just wonderful families that have good, solid values and are just lost.
Wow. When you look at that and you look at where we are with the pandemic and how life has changed for everyone, has that made it worse?
Oh, it's just so much harder right now for kids. Well, first of all, if they're seeking treatment, they can't really find it because there are no 12-step meetings going on in person. They're all going on virtually, and really it's hard to join a community and feel like part of it in the virtual world, even though adults do it very adeptly. And their world revolves, the teenager's world really revolves around their social support, their social group, and they're so much more interested in that than in anything their parents can have to say or do, even though they do love their parents. They will, you know, they'll listen. It's the blind leading in the blind. And kids will listen to each other before they'll listen to the parents. And so if you don't have a positive group of teens out there that your kid can connect with, then they can't connect with anybody right now. They can be on the phone, or they can do some social media and some Skype or video, FaceTime, whatever calls, but they just don't get the social connection that they need, and they can get depressed very easily.
Yeah, so for you, I mean, I think the idea is let's get this book out there and get this in the hands of so many people who need it, because you said it, that you were saying the same stories over and over again. You thought, boy, I just got to put this in a book. Was it rewarding to pull this all together?
Oh, it was so great. I started doing workshops with parents just to make sure that I could use them like sort of focus groups to make sure that I was covering the material that they were desperate for. And that's how it really started, was with the workshops and focus groups. And the Fondren Foundation in Houston gave me a grant to write the book, which also helped so that I could do it full-time for a couple of years. And it just was a delightful experience and so well-received among the people who I have distributed it to. And at this point, there are some treatment programs across the country that are using it in their parent program. And I just get a lot of feedback I've gotten clients from all over the world who have called me because they've gotten hold of this book. And so I'm just so honored to have been able to have been in this position, to have gained this knowledge and been able to put the book together.
Yeah, and it's interactive because, like you said, you had the focus groups, et cetera. So there are things that you learn in reading this book that you can apply when you have one of these situations, correct?
It's really intended to be like a parent manual.
Yeah.
How to create rules, how to create consequences to those rules, how to for the parents to get together and understand each other, you know, how to quit asking the why questions and start asking what do we do now, and get away from blame and start looking at solutions.
Yeah, so well done. I'm glad that's available. I've seen this way too much, and I'm not on your end of it, so you can only imagine. Annette Eden, thanks so much. Again, the book is called From Monsters to Miracles. You can pick it up on Amazon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.